I'll proceed with the next speaker, who is Comrade Miguel from the Canadian Peace Congress. We'd now like to invite him up to share his thoughts with us. Please give him a warm welcome.
Well, brothers and sisters, comrades and friends, it gives me a great honor to bring militant greetings from the Canadian Peace Congress to this wonderful event today. Yeah. The Canadian Peace Congress was founded in 1949, just a few short years after the historic defeat of fascism in Europe and in Asia. And we have continued to this day to stand up for peace, for disarmament, and for anti-imperialist unity. And that resonated at the time in the late 40s, and it continues to resonate today. I want to begin by expressing what's already been expressed by others, our profound condolences to the families of all of those victims, more than 125 killed and thousands injured at the hands of a callous and vicious attack from the IDF forces and the Israeli state in Gaza. This heinous act, like so many atrocities in the past, and I don't have an extensive list, but we think of the massacres committed by the British imperialists in India, in Africa, and in many other colonies. The exterminations and mass exterminations carried out by the Nazis and the Japanese Fascist Empire during Second World War. The barbaric slaughter carried out by the fascist Pinochet regime in Chile in 1973 and in El Salvador and Guatemala in the early 80s. And of course, the countless acts of genocide over not just decades but centuries against the indigenous peoples of this hemisphere. So too, this murderous assault in Gaza constitutes a crime against humanity. And the day will surely come when Netanyahu and the entire leadership of the Israeli state will be called to account, will be judged, and will be punished for their crimes. On this day, we also remember all of those Palestinians who have been bombed in their villages and cities, who have been shot in the streets, who have been wrongly imprisoned in Israeli jails, whose homes have been demolished, and whose lands have been stolen. All those who have been oppressed and victimized by the fascist Zionist state. Today, we once again salute all of those martyrs who have displayed courage and steadfastness in the face of great adversity to defend the national rights of the just struggle of the Palestinian people. Friends, as been noted earlier, today in the Middle East, the alliance between Israel, Saudi Arabia, and the United States has now taken full form. It is not a holy alliance, for sure. It's not an unholy alliance. In fact, it has absolutely nothing to do with religion or religious preferences at all. It is instead an alliance of convenience, a reactionary alliance whose primary objective is to serve the economic and political interests of imperialism in the entire region, to divide and to weaken the resistance of the Palestinian people. And all of those social and political forces, governments and states which support their struggle and oppose Israeli aggression and expansionism. Virtually everything that is happening today in the region is connected with this overriding objective of imperialism. The dirty war in Yemen, the attempt to divide Syria, the gathering storm aimed at Iran. But this sharpening offensive of imperialism and its regional flunkies is faltering. It is losing. It is facing increasing resistance and it can and will be defeated. The key, as always, is to keep our eyes on the main ball, not to be distracted by false flags or imperialist propaganda, and instead to build unity, unity, and still more unity. Struggle, struggle, and still more struggle. But friends, after decades of attempts to extinguish the national rights of the Palestinian people, to isolate and marginalize their struggle, Zionism has not been successful. I just returned from socialist Cuba a few weeks ago, so I want to use an example from Cuba. As you all know, for almost six decades, the great empire to the south, only 90 miles, 150 kilometers from the shores of Cuba, have worked overtime to impose regime change, to overthrow the revolution, and to return Cuba to the role of a casino and a whorehouse for the rich in North America. They have invaded that island. They have bombed its harbors. They have spread viruses amongst its livestock to destroy the livestock. Use chemicals and various other attempts to assassinate its leadership, certainly Comrade Fidel, but others as well. And it has imposed a brutal economic blockade of that island to strangle socialism. And yet, despite all of that and all of that, Cuba has persevered and has survived. And all of the attempts made to isolate and marginalize Cuba have been an outstanding failure and disaster. Last November in the United Nations, once again, that body voted overwhelmingly to condemn the U.S. blockade against Cuba. 191 countries voted to condemn that blockade. Only two voted against it. The United States is one. And I'll give you three guesses, but you only need one to figure out who the other one was. The Zionist State of Israel. Shame, shame on them. And just like in the case of Cuba, the attempts of Zionist Israel to marginalize and isolate and to defeat the resistance of the Palestinian people is also a failure. This action today, not only in the streets of Toronto, but in over 800 cities around the world, is proof that the Palestinian struggle is not only strong, but is growing in strength. The fact that the BDS campaign internationally goes from strength to strength and has the Zionist leadership shuddering in their boots over there and across the street over here as well, is proof, as somebody already referred to, the courageous action of Lionel Messi and the Argentinian national soccer team to cancel their friendly match in Jerusalem is proof of that as well. Finally, I have to say a few words about Canadian foreign policy. Because to call it shameful, to call it a travesty, is really to understate, in fact, the groveling position that this government has taken, putting it on the side of a most reactionary, racist, fascist, and expansionist Israeli state. But as Ken Stone, speaker earlier, pointed out, this government in Ottawa does not speak for the Canadian people. It does not speak for the vast majority of Canadians who know full well what is going on and who is responsible for it. My phone keeps going wonky here, so excuse me. You know, today, most of us, if not all of us here, consider ourselves to be internationalists, to value the virtue and the importance of internationalism, especially in the world today. But what is genuine internationalism today? Genuine internationalism, short and sweet, is to express not only our activities and our struggles in our own countries, but also to support all peoples around the world, in all countries, large and small, who stand up for their independence, for their sovereignty, and their right of national self-determination. That's what internationalism is today. It means anti-imperialism, whether it's in the besieged state of Venezuela, which is under the gun of U.S. imperialism as well, or in Yemen, or in Western Sahara, or in Syria, or in the Democratic People's Republic of Korea, and certainly and not least, the just struggle of the Palestinian people. Together, united, we can win, we will win. From the river to the sea, Palestine will be free. Thank you very much, brothers.
From the river to the sea.
Palestine will be free.
From the river to the sea.
Palestine.